84% of deaths occurring during the 2 weeks after vaccination, 39.48% within 24 hours of the injections. According to CDC's fatality data, a COVID vaccine is 98 times more likely to kill than a flu vaccine. Other databases have, not surprisingly, yielded much higher projections of COVID vaccine deaths than VAERS. A recent peer-reviewed study in the High Gravitas Elsevier Journal Toxicology Reports found that COVID-19 vaccines kill more people in each age group than they save. According to that study, the best-case scenario is 5 times the number of deaths attributable to each vaccination versus those attributable to COVID-19 in the most vulnerable 65-plus demographic. Similarly, a September 2021 analysis by a team of prominent scientists and mathematicians convened by Silicon Valley entrepreneur Steve Kirsch of half a dozen population and surveillance system databases, including VAERS, using 8 different independent methods, attributes 150,000 deaths to COVID vaccines in the United States since January 2020. Kirsch has offered a $1 million reward for anyone who finds an error in this calculation. Kirsch's study, which found that the vaccines kill more people than they save in every age range, was consistent with Pfizer's 6-month clinical trial, finding that people who took the vaccine were more likely to die than people who didn't take the vaccine. There were a total of 20 deaths in the people who took the vaccine versus 14 deaths in the people who didn't take the vaccine. In yet another effort to calculate excess deaths from vaccinations from a non-VAERS database, Ohio-based attorney Thomas Renz used the Medicare database, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, to calculate that there have been 48,465 deaths among Medicare-Medicaid beneficiaries within 14 days of a first or second dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. There are about 59.4 million Americans covered by Medicare, representing only 18.1% of the population, so these staggering numbers are roughly comparable to Steve Kirsch's population-wide estimate of 150,000. How CDC hid the wave of vaccine deaths. According to Dr. Fauci, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the White House, and most mainstream media, we now have a pandemic of the unvaccinated, with 95% to 99% of COVID-related hospitalizations and deaths being attributed to the unvaccinated. As I mentioned above, these estimates are the product of systematic deception of the public, and presumably of the president, by America's top regulators. So how did CDC go about fooling President Biden? One of CDC's bold deceptions is to hide vaccine mortalities in U.S. data by counting all people as unvaccinated unless their deaths occur more than 2 weeks after the second vaccine. Ironically, CDC doubles down on this fraud by counting many of these vaccine deaths as COVID deaths. In this way, CDC captures that wave of deaths that occurs after vaccination and attributes them all to unvaccinated. This is only one of many statistical chicaneries that the CDC employs to hide vaccine injuries and to stoke public fears of COVID. The CDC utilized an even brassier canard to support President Joe Biden's claim that 98% of vaccine hospitalizations and deaths were among the unvaccinated. In an August 5th video statement, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky inadvertently revealed the agency's principal gimmick for fabricating that statistic. Walensky sheepishly admitted that CDC included hospitalization and mortality data from January through June 2021 in its calculation. The vast majority of the U.S. population were, of course, unvaccinated during that time frame, so it makes sense that almost all hospitalizations would therefore be only among the unvaccinated. This is simply because there were almost no vaccinated Americans during that time period. By January 1st, only 0.4% of the U.S. population had received a COVID shot. By mid-April, an estimated 37% had received one or more shots, and as of June 15th, only 43.34% were fully vaccinated. Using these data was therefore pretty blatant fraud. Of course, CDC never let on that it was foisting 8-month-old data on Americans, allowing us instead to believe that these were current hospitalization rates as of August. To compound this flim-flam, CDC perpetuated an even more audacious hustle. CDC omitted the current, as of August, data related to hospitalizations from the Delta variant, which disproportionately hospitalized vaccinated individuals in those other countries for which we have more reliable data. CDC's promotion of this statistical bunko was obviously grossly misleading. Assuming President Biden wasn't deliberately lying to the American people, it's clear that CDC was lying to President Biden and using him to dupe the rest of us. COVID vaccines, other injuries. Despite the obstacles to reporting, VAERS recorded nearly 800,000 injuries by the 9.5 months between December 14, 2020 and October 2021, with 112,000 classified as serious. Pfizer either did not report several severe injuries, short of death, or deceptively de-emphasized their severity during clinical trials, including neurological harm, thrombocytopenia, blood clots, strokes, embolisms, aneurysms, myocarditis, Bell's palsy, Guillain-Barré syndrome, multi-organ failure, amputation, blindness, paralysis, tinnitus, and menstrual harms. More than 30,000 women in the UK and 6,000 in the US have complained of the latter. On September 28th, a scientific journal, JAMA Neurology, reported a new series of cases of cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, CVST, linked to COVID-19 vaccines, confirming the severity of the reaction and the associated high mortality rate, and another journal confirmed the resumption of hepatitis C in a patient related to the jab. The numbers of and diversity of these serious injuries probably continue to be dramatically underreported. Steve Kirsch has investigated several broad deceptions Pfizer used to conceal injuries to the vaccine group during its clinical trial. We know, for example, due to the courage of Maddie Desgaray and her parents, that Maddie, a 14-year-old who participated in the Pfizer trial, suffered severe neurological injuries, including seizures and permanent paralysis. However, Pfizer reported only that Maddie suffered a stomachache. The Pfizer vaccine only gained emergency authorization for use in children because Pfizer manipulated trial data and committed serious offenses, like hiding Maddie Desgaray's injury. Given that Maddie was only one of 2,300 teenagers in Pfizer's trial, her injury was potentially very significant. By extrapolating a 1 in 2,300 injury rate to the 86 million teens who Pfizer and Dr. Fauci have targeted for vaccination, some 36,000 of these potentially debilitating injuries could be expected to develop nationwide. While COVID may kill old people, the vaccine, in Maddie's case, shows it also kills and harms the young. Pfizer's clinical data predicted potentially fatal myocarditis in 1 in every 318 teens. Post-marketing data confirm astronomically high rates of myocarditis injuries. On October 1, 2021, a team of medical researchers and statisticians found that myocarditis rates reported in VAERS were significantly higher in teens than Pfizer had reported in its clinical data. According to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, there have been 7,537 cases of myocarditis and pericarditis reported following COVID vaccines, with 5,602 cases attributed to Pfizer. Some 476 of these reports occurred in children from 12 to 17 years old. According to an article in Current Trends in Cardiology, within 8 weeks of the public offering of COVID-19 products to the 12 to 15-year-old age group, we found 19 times the expected number of myocarditis cases in the vaccination volunteers over background myocarditis rates for this age group. But even these alarming numbers may underreport myocarditis injuries. Israeli data and U.S. data presented to CDC's Advisory Committee on June 23, 2021, similarly found the rate of reported cases of myocarditis in vaccinated teenage boys aged 12 to 17 is at least 25 times greater than expected and is 50 times greater than the reported rate in vaccinated males over 65. These astonishing numbers mean myocarditis is far from a rare side effect, as Dr. Fauci and Pfizer like to claim. Nor is it harmless. A recent study suggests that myocarditis is associated with a 50% mortality within 5 years. A teen had effectively zero risk of dying from COVID and a substantial risk of death from vaccination. In October 2021, Sweden, Denmark, and Finland announced that they will pause the use of Moderna's COVID vaccine for children under 18 years of age after increased reports of inflammatory diseases like myocarditis and pericarditis. That same week, Iceland banned Moderna's jab outright due to heart inflammation risk. Furthermore, the VAERS data may also be dramatically underreporting myocarditis and other injuries. Just before I published this book in late October 2021, FDA made an extraordinary admission in a letter to Pfizer to explain the chronic underreporting of serious but common vaccine-induced injuries and deaths. FDA at last admitted that VAERS is worthless for detecting vaccine injuries. We have determined that an analysis of spontaneous post-marketing adverse events, VAERS reports, reported under Section 505(k)(1) of the FDCA, Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, will not be sufficient to assess known serious risks of myocarditis and pericarditis and identify an unexpected serious risk of subclinical myocarditis. Furthermore, the pharmacovigilance system that FDA is required to maintain under Section 505(k)(3) of the FDCA is not sufficient to assess these serious risks. At best, this letter is a shocking acknowledgement that regulators have no way to assess whether their vaccines are killing and injuring more humans than they are helping. In any rational regulatory environment, FDA's alarming admission would demand an instantaneous cessation of the vaccine rollout. Only Dr. Anthony Fauci can answer the question, why, given FDA's stunning confession that America has no functional surveillance system, did HHS not immediately stop the COVID vaccine rollout? The answer, of course, is that Dr. Fauci knows that America's bought, brain-dead, and scientifically illiterate media will never force him to answer this query. Waning vaccines. Compounding concerns over FDA's confession that Americans have no way to assess the risks from COVID vaccines is the uncontestable proof that COVID vaccine efficacy drops precipitously almost immediately after vaccination. Pfizer and FDA may have opted to end the company's clinical trial after 6 months. The optional plan was a 3-year trial ending in December 2023. After realizing that the vaccine was causing significant harms and that its fast waning efficacy would make a cost-benefit analysis unsupportable if the study continued. In other words, the injury axis almost immediately crosses the benefits axis. In October 3, 2021 study, in the peer-reviewed journal BioArchive by Stanford and Emory University scientists, suggests that antibody levels generated by the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine can suffer a tenfold decrease 7 months after the second vaccination. The scientists warn that the precipitous drop in antibody levels will compromise the body's ability to defend itself against COVID-19 if the individual is exposed to COVID. A second study published the same week confirms that the immune protection offered by 2 doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine drops off after only 2 months. Another government-funded study in October confirms the decline in vaccine effectiveness in England, finding that the reduction in transmission declined over time since second vaccination, for Delta reaching similar levels to unvaccinated individuals by 12 weeks for the AstraZeneca vaccine, and attenuating substantially for Pfizer. In other words, within just 3 months, AstraZeneca did nothing to prevent transmission, and Pfizer was scarcely better. The study appearing in The Lancet confirms that vaccine effectiveness against infection disappears so fast that it is ephemeral. The heavily powered study involved 3,436,957 Kaiser Permanente Southern California customers and compared infections and COVID-19-related hospital admissions of fully vaccinated to unvaccinated people over the age of 12 for up to 6 months. The researchers found that vaccine effectiveness against infection plummeted from 88% during the first month after double vaccination to 47% after 5 months. The researchers found vaccine effectiveness against Delta infection was 93% during the first month after double vaccination, but dropped to 53% after 4 months. This information should sicken every doctor who has ever given one of these jabs to a trusting patient. It means that these products confer no benefits to individuals or society, and their long-term costs are foreboding and largely unknown. How could this have happened? Vaccinating children is unethical. Our collective nausea can only amplify when we ask, why are we vaccinating children? Kirsch's model estimates that 600 children have already died from COVID vaccines as of September 2021. A recent Lancet study shows that a healthy child has zero risk for COVID, suggesting that most of these kids are dying unnecessarily. Some 86% of children suffered an adverse reaction to the Pfizer COVID vaccine in clinical trial, and 1 in 9 children suffered a serious reaction, grave enough to leave them unable to perform daily activities. How can we then justify forcing a healthy child to take a vaccine that is dead certain to injure many and kill some while bestowing no benefits? How can anyone consider it ethical, asks Kirsch, to put a child at risk for the pretext that it might shield an adult? Show me any adult who thinks this is okay, and I'll show you a monster. COVID-19 vaccines have caused cardiac arrest, blindness, and paralysis in American children. British Health Service reports emergency calls for cardiac arrest are at an all-time high since the government began offering teens the COVID-19 vaccine. COVID vaccines do not protect children from hospitalization or death associated with COVID-19 because healthy children are not being hospitalized or dying with COVID-19, NHS statistics. Children will not gain anything from having the jab because the vaccines do not prevent infection or transmission, as in three recent studies published by the CDC, UK government, and Oxford University. There is no evidence that the vaccines have prevented a single child's death. Troubling statistics from Britain's Office for National Statistics, ONS, verify the expected. Deaths among teenagers during the summer of 2021 increased significantly over the previous year, coinciding with the vaccine rollout. According to an analysis by the expose's Will Jones, between weeks 23 and 37 in 2021, simultaneous with the vaccine rollout, there were 252 deaths among 15 to 19-year-olds in England and Wales, compared to 162 in the same period in 2020, an increase of 90 or 56%, a very high number that deserves some kind of explanation. Importantly, there is no similar rise among younger children aged 1 to 14, a cohort that was not vaccinated. Instead, 2020 was a low mortality year for this age group. COVID cannot be blamed for the sudden rise in deaths among 15 to 19-year-olds in summer 2021, as the Office of National Statistics data shows that, over the period, there were only 9 deaths with COVID in that age group. This real-world evidence suggests that over the summer, the vaccines killed 9 times as many 15 to 19-year-olds as COVID did, 81 versus 9.